4, 2 Kings 4. I'm teaching on being stuck this entire series. I have one more sermon in this series on being stuck. Today I'm going to tell you how to get unstuck financially. I don't know if that's anybody in here. You guys just may have it flowing, but if you need to get unstuck financially, or just maybe not finances, just in any area of your life where resources are not enough, whether it be your time, your energy, anything, hopefully the principles that are spoken today will show you how to get unstuck in life. Father, use me. Let your anointing flow. Let your word be very clear. It is your desire that we are free in every part of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to 2 Kings 4, NIV version, so it may read a little different than yours, and it says this. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah. She said, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord." I talked about Elijah last week, and I'm talking about Elisha, the one that picked up the mantle. And he led a group of prophets, and one of his prophets died, and his wife, his widow, has now come to him. And it says this, "But now his creditor has come to take my husband, to take my two boys as his slaves." And Elijah replied to her. How many mothers in here have sons? Can you imagine the tone that she's speaking this in? It doesn't probably sound like what I'm reading. It is probably elated to what she's saying to him. And Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of oil, olive oil." Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to the side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." He replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing, and she went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, pay your debts. You and your sons can live off the rest." Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I'm about to get unstuck financially." Say, "The Lord of the breakthrough is about to visit my house." Anybody got your wallet, your pocketbook, anything in here? I dare you to take it out and say, "God is about to send breakthrough to my finances in Jesus' name." If you believe it, say, "God is about to send breakthrough to my finances in Jesus' name." Now, I'm not trying to make Cadillac the number one dealership again. I'm not just talking about your 10,000 square foot home. I'm talking about getting the pressure off of your life so you quit living from paycheck to paycheck and you can live out your purpose. And you'll see the provision of God flood every part of your life. And Elijah gave this lady a remedy. He gave her a recipe to get unstuck financially. And I'm going to give it to you today. The first thing you got to do is this. You got to do an assessment. The very first question Elijah asked this woman was not a spiritual one. She came to him broken. My husband, your servant's dead. The creditors are coming to take my children. But Elijah didn't give her sympathy. He asked her one of the most important questions, which was a faith question. He said, "What do you have in your house? He didn't ask how bad you feel. He didn't ask anything else. He just had her look from within because he wanted to challenge her faith. He wanted her to smash her pride and to release her faith to get unstuck. I'm going to ask you a question. What's your stuck level? Do you know your debt level? Do you know your credit score? Do you know who all you know? Because the reality is it can be a scary picture when you try to come out of where you are. But here's the thing about it. Things may be bad, but we make them worse than what they have to be when we don't address them up front. Creditors could be calling you, cussing the creditors out. And you get, they don't want nothing but that money that you owe. Make sense in here? When you are in this situation, get on the front end of it. Don't wait for them to call you. You call them. I don't have the money yet, but it's going to come. Instead of avoiding the calls and you lying in here crying because they think we crying because praise and worship, you crying because you done lied to all your creditors and told them you your daughter and all, that's you. You don't have to go through all those changes. You do an assessment. Don't be defensive about where you are. But be honest about where you are, because God is about to get you out. The next thing he asked her, he said, what's in your house? That's a part of the assessment you need to locate. Elijah located what she had to work with. What do you have to produce? What are the intangibles of your personality? Are you analytical? Are you a driver? Can you do graphic design? Can you do weave on the side? Can you cut hair? Do you do metal? There's all kinds of things that you can do. Can you mow yards? Can you wash cars? Can you consult? Do you bake cakes? All kind of stuff is in your house that God wants you to locate. The beginning of your turnaround is not somewhere else, but it's in your hand. What can you do? I love seeing people on the grind. Yesterday, when they were at the women's conference, they had a phenomenal women's conference. And one of the, yes. One of the, you know what? All the speakers were in-house. Yeah. We didn't have to fly people from Jamaica and have a guest prophet from, they probably got some great speakers in Africa. But we didn't have to fly nobody in from Africa and just do smoking. We just had our own. One of the ladies, when she was leaving, I said, you got to go. She said, yeah, I got to set up a catering somewhere else. I got excited because I love to see people who create multiple streams of wealth, multiple streams of income. They don't just have their 9-to-5. They got other stuff they do because you have other stuff coming in. What can you do? What's in your house? After you do an assessment, you figure out how stuck I am and what can I do. I got to develop a plan to get unstuck. Elijah gave this lady a plan. And he said to her, Elijah's plan was this. Step number one of Elijah's plan was go borrow empty vessels. Somebody say empty vessels. Empty vessels. Elijah made this woman commit to the faith process of her provision. He didn't give her what she needed in the moment. He put her in faith to go get it herself. To borrow vessels in this manner, it opened her up to some awkward questions. Can you imagine her going to her neighbors and borrowing vessels? And everybody around her is asking, why are you borrowing all these vessels? I think God, when you're in stuck positions, is more concerned with your faith than he is the current level of need or money that you have. Because when you are stuck, God, he put her in a position where she had to go talk to people. He didn't just do it behind closed doors or I'm going to handle this myself. She had to go and open herself up. And when she opened herself up and borrowed empty vessels, notice this, they were not full vessels. It was easy for her to go say, this is the amount of debt that I have. Can you give me a vessel and oil so I can sell it? No. God said, you go get an empty vessel because I'm going to use what you have to fill what you borrow. In an awkward situation, is there anybody like me that you don't want anybody in your business? Particularly if you're in a bind. The last person, I lost scholarships. I've been in debt. And when my parents found out is when I preached about it. They didn't find out when I was in it because I wanted to figure it out myself. And I caused myself a lot of undue stress and heartache because I got back in situations because I would not invite people into my process. So what Elijah said is, listen, I'm going to break the stubborn pride in your life and I'm going to have you reach outside of yourself. Now, you can't just ask anybody. You got to ask people who are producing. And he put her in a position where she started asking people for vessels. What are vessels? Vessels are those things that create capacity in your life. I have a vision for this church, but I will go to every conference, read every book, not to mimic every church, but to see the principles on how they operate and to pour the vision God has given me into it. I want empty vessels. When you go borrow empty vessels, what you are doing is going to create a demand for yourself. And it's hard to make demands in life when you are not in demand. I want to be paid this. I want to do this. You cannot demand that unless you are in demand. So what God had her do was go create a demand for herself. And when she created a demand for herself, provision came from the north, south, east, and the west. So you got to develop a plan to get unstuck. And in that, you got to borrow empty vessels. Step two is this. She shut the door. Here's the thing in this season. She shut the door on her and her sons. Everything connected to you has to be on the same page and involved in the plan. It is very hard if I'm going this way and Barbara's going this way and Isaiah just dancing in the middle. In order for us to see things, this is just our house and everybody's life, you got to be on the same page when it comes to whatever. Whenever you're trying to get unstuck financially, it's going to seem like everybody's going on vacation. Everybody's going to Paris. Everybody's going to London. They sitting there on the beach with sand in their toes and just doing all kinds of stuff. And you sitting here and you're going to drive yourself nuts because you can't do it right now. But when you get on the same page, your vacation may be a lawn chair in your kitchen with a little bowl of sand right there, and you put your feet in that sand, and you make your virgin pina colada, because we can't do all that this year. Y'all right in here? And it may be tough. Everybody may be getting hardwood floors in their house. And them floors so slick, they ain't got to walk. They just slide on them. They walk in the house, you end up in your bedroom. And then the whole world may be buying new houses. The whole world may be getting new cars, and you got to pray for yours to start and pray for yours to stop. But if you're in a plan right now. Your kids got to know it. Daddy, everybody in school getting Jordans. They wearing these new jerseys, and they putting this pressure on you for you to then to be fresh, and then you go and walk in their room, and they just laying in the floor. But watch this. When we're getting unstuck, may not be 10 Jordans. Y'all right in here? We may have to go to the Nike outlet and buy out the 40% right, but it's all right. No, because we're getting unstuck, and it's not going to be like this always. Because you move out of the mode of trying to impress everybody and saying, I can't live stressed out, and you think I'm fresh. Anybody tired of breaking and want to break that mode? Everybody think you got it going on, but no, you look good, but you ain't good. No, I've been there, and I never want to be in that place. So he said this, shut the door. When you shut the door, you get everybody on the same page. Step three is this. He said, pour into the vessels. So she took what they had, and she poured her faith out. She took the little oil she had and poured it in every vessel. For some of you, I'm going to challenge you this week to pour. That pouring may be applying for that job. Do you know when you send your resume, you're sending a seed to bring back a harvest? It's like sending the word out, and the word's not going to return void. So when I send my resume, I say, God, I'm sending this because your word doesn't return void. And it's going to return back either with a job or a feedback on how to get the job that I want. Yeah. So everything I'm doing, I'm releasing again faith. God, I don't have the $200 to pay my electric bill, but I'm going to put this $50 on it. And I'm going to believe you for an extension. We're going to have no lights cut off. You got to do it in faith. Take what you have and use it. Told God, I'm going to take the little vision that you have, you've given me here, and pour it into everything that we got. So you pour it into the vessels. You got to put faith and work together. And then step four, he said, set aside what is full. All right. That's what you call developing a plan to get unstuck. The next thing is this. You got to buy into that plan. Let me show you what that looks like. It's one thing to sing praise and worship. Michael was singing, you made a way. And we were all singing, God can make a way. My back is against the wall. And you sitting here crying, but tomorrow, your back is going to be against the wall. You're going to see a mountain tomorrow, and you got a choice. Are you going to cuss, or are you going to worship? Are you going to break down and panic, or are you going to say, God, I'm going to trust you? And it's very easy in here. It's very easy in this moment to feel so good, and God just so great. But when all hell is breaking loose, are you going to buy into God's plan for doing things? When you buy into it, I believe it. I trust it, and I'm going to work the process. So when she bought into the plan, remember, she shut the door on her entire family. Do you know what happened when they shut the door? They shut the door on their past. They shut the door on all the things that said they were not going to make it. They shut the door on the mindset that got them in the situation that they were in. And they said, what we've done has not worked. We're going to try something new. Look at your neighbor and say, anytime you try something new. Here's the biggest thing. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. This is why I have the confidence to shut the door. Because God is about to reward my faith, not my failure. God is about to reward my faith and not my failure. Some of you are about to shut the door, and you know you got tons of credit card debt. You got student loan debt. That from when you didn't borrow just to pay for school, you borrowed to pay for polo boots, polo shoes. No, you were the freshest thing on campus in 97. And in 2017, you still paying on that polo. You got all this grief that comes with debt. And I can't really tell people of the debt and the situation I'm in, because they're going to look and say, you shouldn't have did it in the first place. So when they shut the door on all that condemnation, and they said, I'm going to work the plan, because what God is rewarding is my faith and not my failure. Y'all right in here? The next thing, I believe it. It's in my heart. It's in my spirit. I got to execute it. I got to execute the plan to get unstuck. She shut the door and poured the oil, and then she released her faith. Releasing her faith does something that I can't explain it to you. I just know it happens every time. The supernatural kicked in. The thing that is different with us, with the child of God, versus just humanistic thinking, just as just positive thinking, is that when you execute God's plan, all of heaven shows up on your behalf. Can I just stop for a moment? Can I have any mothers, fathers, people in general who have seen God intervene in your life? You've seen God stretch stuff. You've seen God open doors. You've seen God give you jobs you know you didn't qualify for. You've seen God make way out of no way. And you are testifying to the fact that God can make a way. People will try to talk you out of what God can do. Here's what I learned in life. The person with experience is never at the mercy of the person with an argument. You can tell me all day long what God won't do. God ain't still doing that. It's too late because I've tried him and I know him. I've seen him bring me out. I've seen him bring me through. And I don't care what your argument says. I've seen God change things. And in your mind right now, the devil may be telling you, preacher, that worked for everybody but me. And I've seen it work. Now, I don't care what your mind says. I have seen God change things. I've seen God bring people out of debt. I've seen God heal people. I've seen God. He ain't doing it like the lottery where one person win. It's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. God has enough to bless everybody in here. So she released her faith, and the supernatural kicked in. Let me tell you something. When you execute the plan of God, it's tough. My very first job, I had suffered injustice. And the guy that I was hired with, he got promoted and an increase before me. And you know when you're suffering injustice, all kind of things come through your mind. The race card, all kind of stuff. I didn't go to this school. And I was upset. And I remember I was going to call a meeting with my boss. And I was going to tell him all the reasons why I should have been promoted. And that Sunday night, we had Sunday night service during praise and worship. The Lord said, Jason, I just want you to praise me. And I went into a praise that I didn't care when nobody else was in the building. I'm normally pretty reserved. I don't like to let people see me cry and all that stuff like that. But that day, I didn't care. Because you know when you're upset, you know, the tears just come down your eyes. Some of y'all, your hands start shaking. Y'all can't get your words together. I was one of them kind of angries. And I said, God, just, okay, thank you. And I start praising God in that moment. And God began to minister to me. And I got to work on Monday and said, God, that praise was good, but I'm still meeting with him. And the Lord said, no, you're not. Then I'm going to send an email. He said, no, you're not. Tuesday, I'm going to send an email. He said, no, you're not. Wednesday, my boss called me in the office. Jason. Here's your promotion and a 7.5% raise. Let me show you what happens. That praise was not for God. That praise was for me. Because God was already going to do what he was going to do. He was just trying to calm me down so I didn't mess up his plan. And what God is trying to do is get you to calm down so he can fight your battles. Because you don't have to fight in this battle because the battle is not yours. This battle belongs to the Lord, and I'm going to execute in faith what God tells me to do. Notice this. She executed, shut the door, poured the oil, and the Bible says, she asked the sons, bring me another vessel. There was no more left. When you stop releasing your faith is the only time God will stop the oil from flowing. Whatever God is telling you to do, try it, and God will increase what you have. In Jesus' name. Last point, and I'm through. Not only will God get you unstuck, but you got to develop a plan to live unstuck. There is a difference between getting unstuck and living unstuck. For the 5K, I lost probably 10, 12 pounds. Somebody gave me a secret recipe to get rid of belly fat, and it ain't secret. It's just apple cider vinegar. It don't taste good, but it worked. And I was running that hill at Barfield, and I didn't realize until I went to the doctor. And I saw the scale. I'm like, is this me? Yeah. I lost all that weight. I gained it all back. I did. I like Donut Country. They got them twists, Donut Twists. The chocolate, I like them. And I like them with cran. I make myself feel good because I drink cran grape, but it's just full of sugar. And sometimes I give me some chocolate donuts. I tell Barbara, I'm over here by MTSU. What you doing? I just want some donuts. And I gained it all back. But I know how to lose it. But why keep putting my body through that? Why keep being here then back down here? God said, I don't want you to just get out. Many of you have seen the miracles of God. But do you need a miracle every week? At some point, you start living by faith. And not God save me from drowning every week. You learn how to swim. Because faith causes you to live. Yes, God will bring you out, but why keep putting yourself through unnecessary stuff? God, get me out of this crazy relationship. And you break up with crazy to date crazy again. God, get me out. At some point, you say, I got to change the way I'm doing things. Here's the system. Here's the system. He told her, go sell your oil, pay the debt, live off the rest. Go. That's a grit. There's a grit you got to have in life. As a drive to get up out of the bed. It was cold this morning. And some of you, your bed had arms on it. Just said, lay here. And some people listen. Y'all see them next week. But some people listen. And they just lay there and just, I don't want to get up. Man, but there was this drive. Particularly when things are not going your way, the easiest thing is to quit and check out. But there was this drive, this grit that says, this is the day the Lord has made. Some people look for reasons to quit. That's right. And as soon as something don't go their way, I ain't got to take this. But others of us on the edge of our seat, with our neck just stuck out, we're looking for opportunities to win. You got to make a decision. Am I looking for a reason to quit? Or am I looking for an opportunity to win? Because if I quit, I suffer. And I have to live with hope deferred that make it the heart sick. Now I got to have this grit that overcomes obstacles. Everything does not go my way. I've learned that the hard way. But I got to keep going in the name of Jesus. He said, go, sell your oil. There's a grind that God gives you. Some people call it a side hustle. But there's this grind that you have. Well, you can have your 9-to-5, but there's other stuff you can do too. Or there's other stuff you can learn to do. There's things where you can create multiple streams. We're just talking about God doing great things. There's multiple streams. You may be a graphic designer. You may be a baker. You may be a planner. There can be all kinds of things. While you're sitting at home worried about stuff, you can be out doing something. You know what? YouTube got all these classes, and they got all this stuff around here, the technology center. You can go learn something. When he told her to go borrow vessels, what he was telling her is increase your capacity, and that's what God wants you to do. When you got to have something to pour your oil in so you can sell it. That borrowing oil may be a word of correction. It may be a word of wisdom, but it's increasing your capacity so you can pour your vision into it. And when you sell it, you create income stream. You know what Elijah did for her? He put her in business. Instead of putting her in the begging line, he helped her create a business plan. And in that moment, she could have easily complained, like, I need somebody to help me pay this. And how are you going to pay the rent? All your money spent. A little bit to buy shoes. Baby need a light bill due. Telephone disconnect. Waiting on your next paycheck. I tell you what you ought to do. Give it to the Lord and he'll work it out. Oh, yes, Jesus will. He will work it out. But then, can I tell you how he worked it out? He gave her a business plan. He gave her a system to work that said you will never be back here again because I'll never put you at the mercy of somebody else's bad decisions. I just said something to somebody in here because some of you are suffering not because of what you did, because of what somebody else did. And God said, I'm never going to put you in the mercy of somebody else's decision. He said, sell the oil. So God put her in business. He gave her a grit, a grind. And then he said this, pay your debt. I believe that God wants us to be debt-free. I believe that God wants to lift the burden because do you know how free you can dream when you're out of debt? And I ain't out of debt yet, but I believe in God that he gets us out of debt. You know what? The flexibility, you don't pick jobs, you don't look for a job because you need more money when you're not in debt. You look for avenues to fulfill your purpose. You all right in here? And some of us, what's driving us is not our purpose. You know what I'm talking about? It's our need. It's our desire. It's our want for more. And God said more will come when you create a demand for yourself. But I believe in God to relieve debt. Anybody tired of Navid and Sally Mae sending you letters? Yeah, some of that, I don't like her. Well, you get yourself in credit card debt, and you know, people say, boy, you clean. But every time you start that car, you hear $5.02 and 37 cents. $502.37, you hear your car note. Or every time your kids drive off, Lord, don't let them wreck because my insurance is going to go up. And all you're thinking is debt, and you don't think life. I'm believing God. Lift your hands. Father, in Jesus' name, you're sending a plan. You're increasing what we have to pay off debt to never be in it again because you want us to live free. Father, we don't know how you're going to do it. But we're believing by faith, we're going to work your system, whatever plan you give us, and we're going to be people. I'm not going to live my old age and say I would have if I was not bound. God, I want to be free so I can do everything you call me to do. If you tell me to fund an orphanage, if you tell me to do whatever, God, I want to have the capacity to do it. And Father, we believe you for debt freedom in Jesus' name. If you believe it, put your hands together and praise God. Last point, I'm through. He said, go sell the oil, pay the debt, and live off the rest. Living is not you taking every vacation after your debt's paid off that you ever wanted to take. It's not you walking in your job to tomorrow taking your computer. Y'all take this. I don't need this no more. That's not living. Living is not you walking away and you sitting up in your house just comfortable. Living is this. It's putting a structure in place so I'm never stuck again. Living is this. I want to tell you this. Every person, I'm an analytical mind, so I connect dots. I connect A to B. So every person that I've ever seen that is out of debt, that is flowing in life, they give. They tithe to a local church. They give their time. I don't know how God does it, but when you give, God opens the windows of heaven. When you give, you may not reap where you sow, but you're going to reap. And when you unlock heaven when you sow. And some of us say, I can't afford to give. You can't afford not to give. And Satan has played on many of your minds. Don't you give them nothing. You don't know what they're going to do with it. You don't know what the head of EPB or the electric person did with your money when you turned it in. But you thank God for lights. You all right in here? Lil Wayne has a little whatever name, has $100,000 worth of gold in his mouth. They ain't stopped me from buying his iTunes. Don't let the enemy talk. I'm serious. Talk you out of giving. You sow and watch God open doors. We are a living witness that it happened. Not only do you sow, but you reinvest. You go invest in yourself. Go invest in learning. I guarantee you this. I can read into this scripture. She borrowed vessels the first time, but when she was out of debt, she could buy her own vessels. God wants to move you from just borrowing, robbing Peter to pay Paul, to you do it on your own. Am I tired of that? God said, I want you to reinvest in yourself so that it produces. And the last thing of this, I think God is all for it. The Bible said he gives us all things freely to enjoy. Then you have some money, some things to spend on pleasure. Pick you up a hobby. You want to take you a car and refurbish it. God, I don't think God is against that at all. But not at the expense of other things. I believe that God wants you to give. I believe God wants you to reinvest in yourself so you can grow. And I believe God wants you to enjoy life. Some of you need a vacation. I'm looking all over this room, and I'm feeling an anointing for it right on here on this side. Yeah. Your face says it. Go through. Go through. It was right there. I know I felt something. It ain't about, listen, it's, y'all, if you have it in your mind, he's just talking about money. No, I'm talking about your purpose. I'm talking about your vision, and you need provision to make it happen. And God wants you to get unstuck from where you are, because it is not a good rapport if you owe everybody and you're running from everybody and you're sitting here so in debt that you can't even focus on what God wants you to do because you're so heavy laden by the things of life. God wants us unstuck so we can be free and live out his divine purpose for our life in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. You can bow your head for a moment. First thing I want to pray is you're in debt to sin. I'm going to pray for salvation, but I want to tell you in here, some of you, Satan has told you you can't stop, that this will always be a part of your life. You are not a slave to sin. Jesus Christ has delivered you from the burden of sin and shame. And the moment you give your heart to him, you owe the enemy nothing. He may come back tapping with desire, but you don't have to give in. In the name of Jesus, I declare this morning as you repeat the prayer of salvation, everything is, the debt of sin is broken off your life. If you want to repeat after me, Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Father, I admit I've sinned. I've done things not pleasing in your sight. I ask that you forgive me of all my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And I'm going to live the life he called me to live. In Jesus' name. Here's what I want to pray in that your seat, if you want to experience this, you want to be unstuck financially, unstuck in not enough. I just want you to slip your hands up wherever you are. Remember, the first thing that you break is that the pride, the what are people thinking? Pass that. Focus on your call, your purpose. Father, now in Jesus' name, I'm praying for debt freedom, that you flood us with the resources to pay off debt and to live out purpose. I pray not only that we get unstuck, but we stay unstuck in the name of Jesus. That we have the freedom to whatever it is you're calling us to do, that we can pursue it in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now that the burden, the shame, the regret, how it shapes our personalities and how debt just has us in a bunch. God, I pray that we are released now, and the worry and the anxiety about how things are going to be taken care of, you release it now, and God give you vision. You're going to take care of your family. Your kids' school is going to be fine. All of your needs are going to be met. You're going to walk in purpose and fulfill God's vision for your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Go hug somebody and tell them we're about to live unstuck. Come on, you believe it. I'm